Well, as you might have pieced together, we have some guests with us this morning. Kevin and Sandy Barner are missionaries in a number of places, but Bangkok in particular, I think you said. And so I'm looking forward to them sharing with us. Kevin, if you would come, and Sandy, and prepare to share with us. We give them a hand this morning.
Good morning. It is wonderful to be back at Bethel this morning just to worship the Lord. Thank you, worship team, for leading us into God's presence. You know, every month, Kevin and I separately, but we both read through the Proverbs, one proverb a day, and through the Psalms, five a day. So we read through the Psalms and Proverbs every month. And what you were just talking about, Pastor Danny, this morning was, it's what, January 11th. So it was Proverb 11. And one of our life scriptures is Proverbs 11:25. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So if you want to be a millionaire, be generous. Something like that, anyway. But it's true, the generous do prosper, because that's one of God's promises to us. So be generous.
Amen. I don't think my mic is on. Is it on? Is it? Okay. Well, as long as you can hear me, that's important. Yeah, that is one of our best verses. It doesn't say the wealthy will prosper. It says the generous will prosper. And we, everywhere we go for pretty much our lives together, we try to establish a culture of generosity. That's been one of our primary emphasis just in life, to help people understand that this honors God, this glorifies God, to be a generous person. So we are honored to be here. We just express thanks and appreciation to Pastor Danny and to Heather. Thank you so much for the many years that, as you've been here, Bethel has stood with us in missions and supported us, number one, in prayer, and number two, financially. You partnered with us to keep us on the field to do what we do, and in a moment, you'll see what we're doing. There's a few things that we're doing that I pray will be a blessing to you to continue to pray for us. But I was in conversation with Pastor Danny this morning, and I just learned that next month they will be celebrating 9 years as your pastors here at Bethel Assembly of God. 9 years.
Now, and do you know what Heather said? I love it here. And that just really touched my heart, that she loves you all.
Yeah.
And just that we know that God planted them here for such a time.
Amen. As this. So I just say that because he probably can't talk about this like I can talk about this. And that is just to encourage the leadership in the church, whoever you may be, and the congregation at large, to just kind of be a little sneaky, a little bit sneaky behind the scenes, to do something to surprise them for their 9th anniversary here. I think it should lean towards being generous. We've just been talking about that. And Heather shared with us, we've just enjoyed great conversation prior to the service, that in May, that you'll be celebrating your 25th wedding anniversary. Wow. Amen.
They're going to catch us.
Yeah, you're probably wondering, Pastor Danny, how did that happen so fast? Uh-huh. Yeah, how did that happen so fast? And I say this not only to just shock ourselves, because later this year, in September, we are going to celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary, which is unbelievable. We look at each other and say, how did we get here so fast, honey? And you know where we're going for our 50th anniversary? Thailand. We live there. So, but what a joy, not only to serve the Lord all of these years. We're, this year, 47 years in full-time ministry together. But to serve the Lord is wonderful, but to have a partner to serve the Lord together, there's no greater joy and no greater privilege and fulfillment in life as the Lord blesses you as a married couple to serve the Lord. Well, our role is a unique role in Assemblies of God World Missions. We are pastors of missionaries. And in fact, if you can move to the next slide, you can see in these five countries, Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar, Thailand, and Vietnam, we have over 200 Assemblies of God missionaries serving in those five countries. And Sandy and I are pastors to all of those missionaries in those five countries. We fly on airplanes a lot among these five countries. And maybe sitting in the congregation today, you might ask, why do missionaries need a pastor? Let me ask you, why do you need a pastor? You see, when our missionaries leave the United States and they go to the country they feel God is leading them to serve in, very often they go through challenging situations. Sometimes they struggle in their marriages. Sometimes they struggle with discouragement, doubt, even depression. And it impacts their lives in a very negative way. And additionally, they have to learn a new language. They are bringing their family in many cases, and sometimes they're challenged in raising their children up in a totally different culture. You see, it's not easy to live in another country, to do the things we are called to do. And sometimes they even experience crisis in their lives that they never saw coming. And honey, share a little bit about that, okay?
Yeah, I think in the next slide you'll see the Baldwin family, Matt and Amy, and then their kids, Jedediah. Notice Jedediah and Eliza and Josiah. And they moved to the south of Thailand called Chumphon, and they planted a Thai-speaking church there. And often after church, they would take their church or take the kids to the beach. Doesn't that sound nice about today? They would take them to the beach and have a baptism service or a church picnic or just to have fun after church on a Sunday. And several months ago, they took the children from the church and their son Jedediah, 8 years old, and his little friend Watt, I believe is next, 9 years old, a little Thai boy, beautiful Thai boy. They were out in the water and they were just playing, and suddenly a huge wave came in. And Jedediah made it to shore, but Watt did not make it to shore. Mm. Yeah. They searched all night for his body, and in the morning his body washed up on the shore. So you can't imagine the devastation, the trauma that came over this community, this church, this family, and over the Baldwin family, because Matt was responsible, and so he was charged with negligence. Well, the good part about this is that all the charges against Matt were dropped, praise God. It was a long time, but the charges were eventually dropped. But we flew down to them and stayed with them several days just for them to just try to decompress from what had happened, to encourage them to, you know, try to shed some hope and love and peace, comfort. But what do you say, Pastor? What do you say when something like that happens, you know? So we just depend on the Holy Spirit in everything that we do to give us words of comfort and peace. And while we were there, as you can see, we went to the beach and we had a holy huddle just praying with them and just talking. And that spot where we were praying is where little Watt's body washed up on shore. It was very traumatic for them, for Jedi. But we were able to send them and their whole family to the north of Thailand to Christian counseling for about 10 days where they got some help and all. But before we left Chumphon, we went to Watt's house. See, his grandmother was a Christian and brought him to church, but his mother and stepfather, none of them were Christians. So we just sat there and prayed with them, and comforted them, and the following weekend, Mom went to church and gave her heart to Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Praise God.
You know, out of the ashes, hope rises, and if taking Watt was for the purpose of his mom coming to Jesus, it was worth it. It was worth it, as hard as it can be. And a few months later, his mom became a member of the worship team and was just praising God in the midst of this challenge. So this is just one example of some of the things we do as we fly to the different countries, fly throughout Thailand, and meet with our missionaries and encourage them.
Yes, this area is actually Peninsular Asia or Pan Asia, and we are, our official title is Area Pastors of Peninsular Asia. And that's our primary role. We pastor our missionaries, and we get phone calls, emails, private messages in cases where we need to immediately respond in situations from our missionaries within these five countries to provide the support they need to stay focused on the call that they are answering in serving the Lord in that particular country. Secondary role that we are involved in, because over the 22 plus years we've lived overseas, 7.5 years, we pastored an international English-speaking church in Moscow, Russia. It's cold there. And then we also spent 6 years pastoring the international church in Bangkok, Thailand. It's hot there. My favorite. So we have those 13-plus years of experience pastoring international churches overseas. And so our secondary role is in the region, Asia-Pacific, 41 countries. We have 25 international English-speaking churches. Sometimes, and they're pastored by our missionaries. Sometimes the missionaries need to be away from their congregation for an extended time, and then we are contacted, and we do what we always do. We get on a plane. We fly into their city, and this is the fun part, Pastor Danny. We pastor their church for them while they are away for 6 to 8 weeks at a time, and we love that opportunity. And some of those experiences have taken us to Vietnam. We pastored the international church in Ho Chi Minh City, or Saigon, for around 6 to 7 weeks. One of our single gal missionaries served there. And yes, there's a lot of motorcycles in Ho Chi Minh City. I'm thankful that I don't live and drive there. And while we were in that time frame, we spent an entire Saturday, and I think it's in the next frame there. That's the congregation. Yeah, Sandy and I share the preaching responsibilities. That church right now is in revival. They actually have a Saturday night service and two Sunday morning services, and the church is being blessed immensely under the leadership of one of our amazing single gal missionaries, which is really our heroes on the field, or our single gal missionaries. I think in the next slide you'll see we spent an entire Saturday investing in some leadership training and development for 9 young adult Vietnamese young people who are all desiring to serve in full-time ministry. We had some intimate times of sharing, a time of prayer with each one of them individually. That was such a special, special time of ministry for us.
Yeah, and each of these young Vietnamese, when they graduate from the internship program, they go throughout their country and plant churches. It's incredible. And just last year, the Vietnam Assemblies of God celebrated 50 years. It's crazy.
Awesome.
It's really incredible what God is doing throughout Asia. Yeah. We also flew into Phnom Penh, Cambodia, and we pastored International Christian Assembly in Cambodia for a month. And while we were in Cambodia, we drove or took vans from the north down through the south to the different provinces just to see what God is doing. You should take mission trips and see what God is doing outside of America. It's just really incredible. And really, what we do is only possible because of churches like you, because of your prayer support and your financial support. And we just really can't say enough how much we appreciate the support that you have given to us over all these years. We also flew to Sasebo, Japan. Sasebo is a small city on the westernmost side of Japan. We have a naval base there, and there's a military house church. And we were able to pastor their church there 2 years ago for 7 weeks, and then just this past summer for 8 weeks. And just to see what God is doing throughout the nations of the world, bringing them into these different international churches and finding Christ and building up the body of Christ. This is fun.
Something to mention about this group of people here, they had a pastor, 39 years of age, Assemblies of God World Missions pastor, 39 years of age. He suffered a severe stroke and passed away immediately. So they are without a pastor, and that's why we were contacted, and still do not have a full-time pastor. So we may get another call, honey.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. Exactly. Additionally, we live in Thailand, so we preach periodically in some of our Thai Assembly of God churches, and of course need a translator for that. But we've connected with some of our Thai Assembly of God pastors in relationship, and I think you'll see Pastor Rong and his wife Ning. Pastor Rong is holding a piece of paper there. It's the deed to the property that is behind them. Sandy and I were thrilled that we were able to help raise in excess of $70,000 to buy that property. And that property, about an acre of property, right off the main road in Krabi, Thailand, the southern portion of Thailand. And they are right now clearing that property with heavy equipment, and they are getting ready to bring in a construction team to build their new ministry center. And we are so thrilled. I hear from Pastor Rong a lot, letting us know, giving us updates. And in the next several slides, you'll see some of his ministry. And just to let you know, that's actually one of his house churches. He has already planted four churches. Think about that, Pastor Danny, planting four churches. That's incredible. And so we partner with him to help him continue to build the kingdom down there in Krabi. In the next several slides, you'll see he goes into some of the very impoverished areas, tribal areas, villages. And in some of these areas, Pastor Rong is able to share the gospel with some of the Thai people there who have never one time heard a simple presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never one time. Isn't that amazing to think there are people that are alive that have never one time heard the mention of the name of Jesus? And I just say that to ask you, how many sermons have you heard Pastor Danny preach? On the radio, on television? You know, how many messages have you heard in your lifetime? And there are people, sad to say, who are born in this part of Thailand and others, who, when they're born, they will live their lives, they will work, and they will die. And they will never meet one Christian their entire lifetime. So this is the area that Pastor Rong is focused on in building his church. And you can see the amazing experience. We've been down there and just see the people, their joy and their love for Jesus and their longing to serve him is an amazing experience. It impacts our life in a profound way. Amen. Let's see what's on the next slide there. I actually don't know. Yeah, that Pastor Rong and Sandy and I and Ning, we met them in Bangkok for a meal. I had a great opportunity to share a meal together with them. And then the vital statistic, you might ask, why is that important? So just have a look, because you're a part of this here at Bethel Assembly. In the bottom left-hand corner, upwards of 89 million people globally identify themselves worldwide with this great fellowship that we call the Assemblies of God. Additionally, because of your giving, because of your financial support of missionaries that you help to send out to various countries of the world, due to that, every 17 seconds, a new believer is added to the kingdom of God somewhere in the world. Isn't that awesome? Additionally, every 82 minutes, one new church is planted. Isn't that an awesome thing? And you deserve to be recognized for that because you're a part of that and you believe in missions. Thank you, Pastor Danny and Heather, for your vision and heart for missions to look outside the four walls of Bethel Assembly and be able to send the good news of Jesus Christ through the missionaries that you support to those various parts of the world. And then another aspect of our ministry is being involved with Change the Map. And I think just take a look. Change the Map is led by Mark Doreen. And in a moment, you're going to hear from Mark in a quick video that I brought of his. But this idea, this vision for Change the Map is to raise 50,000 intercessors to commit to praying one day a week for the Buddhist world. And you might ask, why do we need to focus on praying for the Buddhist world? Did you know that in the United States, ages 18 to 25, their preferred religion is Buddhism? When they are ignorant and unknowledgeable of the fact that there is such spiritual darkness in Buddhism, such spiritual darkness, and maybe you've never seen what you're going to see here in a moment on this video that we're about to play. But after the service today, if you don't scan this QR code, we'll have that QR at our station there at our table afterwards. But I want to give you an opportunity just to see this video for a moment. It's a 2-minute video, and I want to bring to your awareness that in this video, you will see some demonic activity taking place in this video that our missionaries are in a position to have to deal with from time to time, serving in the country that we live, Thailand. So have a look, if you would.
Is a tattoo temple where tattoos are applied by demon-possessed monks who are using spirit-possessed ink they concocted themselves that includes bits of hair or body parts from dead ancestors. And they believe that applying these tattoos are ways of keeping bad spirits out. But what it actually happens is they're invoking the power of demonic spirits into the people that they're tattooing. During the annual Y Crew Day, Thai people by the thousands who's received tattoos from these monks come to that temple. And as they sit there in this massive crowd, you'll see one after another suddenly become demon-possessed and they begin to shake and shout, and some run around and hurt themselves and have to be restrained. They have guards on duty to help take these people out as they demonstrate demonic influence in their life. These temples have very, very powerful spiritual presence in them, and going into these places can be spiritually dangerous or harmful if you're not ready and prepared for that. So that is why we need intercessors to stand behind our missionaries and behind the pastors and the Christians and those who are in these Buddhist places that are very, very spiritually dark. I believe that, and we all believe, that intercession from people is just as important to the work and the success of the ministry as the actual work. God is the one who accomplishes the work through us, but we need people praying and interceding for us.
So Mark, who you just saw on the video, wrote this book called Change the Map, and it's just a compilation of his experiences of living for 30 years in Thailand, over 30 years, and how he has reached Thai Buddhists with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's just asking $5 for this book if you would like to purchase it. And it's really interesting book. It's really great. It's an easy read as well. And also, you know, I've had people ask me, isn't Buddhism the same as Christianity because they're both loving and compassionate and do good things? And I say, no, there's no comparison at all. And I just have this flyer out there that is the difference between Christianity and Buddhism. And on the corner, at the corner, is the QR code that you can scan if you would like to sign up to be an intercessor and praying for the Buddhist world. And you can pick this up for free. And when you do, you get a free prayer card. See, we know these people, and they need a lot of prayer. So you can get 2 for the price of none. And you'll never have a better deal than that today. So, but I just want to thank you for your time and just for listening to us babble on, right? And we just want to say, Kap Kun Mak Ka. Thank you very much.
Amen. 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 Thank you again, Pastor Danny, for the privilege of sharing, you know, a pastor's life and the demands that fall on the shoulders of a pastor can sometimes be, well, overwhelming. We would never let on, like, you know, that anything's wrong, but there are times that we are overwhelmed. And so it's nice sometimes for the pastor to be able just to have a break. And I'm thrilled that we're going to be able to give you a break today, Pastor Danny. You can just breathe, and you can just relax and receive and be strengthened and encouraged today from the Word. And I, again, wanted to thank you for the privilege of sharing God's Word with your dear people here at Bethel Assembly of God. The story that I'm going to share from the Scripture, many of you've heard, you know, and maybe are familiar with, but I want to use it kind of as our text for the message that I'll be sharing for this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you could please turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. If you have a smart device, you can also go to your YouVersion app if you have that. If you don't, it's a great app to do devotionals, Bible studies, scripture reading. Mark chapter 2, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, beginning with verse number 1. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of the religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Verse 10, "So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." And then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, he walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." What an amazing event that took place here. And I should remind you today, and knowing the life of Jesus throughout the Gospels, that Jesus often used parables to convey a spiritual truth for the purpose of gaining a response from the listeners. But I just want to clarify today, this account that we've read together in Mark chapter 2 is not a parable. It is an actual historic account. These are real men. These are real people, just like you, just like me. They had, as I'm sure many of us do, insecurities, fears, maybe some unanswered questions that we all experience in our lives. We know nothing really about these men at all. None of the gospel writers who have this account in Matthew, Mark, or Luke say anything about them. Their names are not even mentioned one time. So it helps bring to light this morning that these were just ordinary, common men. How many of you feel that you fit into that category today? Ordinary and common. Yeah, yeah. And I want to use this account today from Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, and I want to extract three truths for us today to latch on to, and that I pray will stir our hearts more for missions globally as well as locally, to see how we can individually be involved in this great commission that God has called us to be a part of. Number one, if you're following along, and again, I have all of the message today you'll find on projection. Number one, they put their intentions into action. They put their intentions into action. So often in life we have many good intentions, but God is expecting us to go beyond having those intentions by actually coming up with a plan to implement those intentions. Can I hear an amen today? Feel free to say amen today. That helps me preach. I really appreciate if you would do that. Yeah. So they put their intentions into action. Although it's not recorded for us, one of them actually had to take the lead to initiate this, and the other three had to basically chime in and say, okay, yes, let's do this. We're in. Again, a reminder, they were unnamed. And while they are unnamed in this story today, I would say that they are actually the unsung heroes of this story. And they took this challenge on, and they decided to let God use them to be a part of solving this man's problem. In Mark 2 and verse 4, what I've read in the text, you can see it there. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. I don't know if you understand the need for these four men to all have a coordinated effort together, each having their own corner of the mat, to let that man down through the roof. And think of the man who's on the mat wondering if this is going to really work. Because if just one of those on one of the corners is not in sync with and in harmony with the other three, guess what could happen? And so this was a real coordinated effort. There was a unity in their effort, and it proved what they did by tearing those tiles off of the roof, a unique thing to do, I might add. It proved the determination and faith of these friends, of this man who was paralyzed. You see, because they counted on Jesus healing him, because they knew it would be a whole lot more difficult to pull him back up through that hole in the roof than it was lowering him down. I believe that they had an understanding. They knew that he was going to walk out of that room free by the power of God. So what they did, it proved their determination and faith together in a combined effort. And also, this act, what they did, it proved the friends' love of this paralyzed man, right? It proved their love for him, that they would go to that extent and they would go to that degree to bring him to Jesus. Let me ask you today, do you have friends like that in your life? Do you? Maybe another thought today would be, to ask, do you act like that kind of friend towards others? Because we all need a friend like that, don't we? Who we can talk to at any time, who will, after they find out all of our flaws that you were talking about, I heard a statement one time that we in the body of Christ, even as Christians, that we are all still cracked pots. That a little bit of a play on words there, yeah. So to have friends like that who will love us unconditionally when they know our shortcomings and know our faults and they know the negative things that we are sharing with them that we're struggling with, but they would still love us. We need friends like that in our lives. Can I hear an amen today? That's so important. And part of the text today is in Mark chapter 2 and verse 5. And an amazing phrase there. It says, and you can see it there, when Jesus saw their faith. Isn't it an amazing thing today? Just think of this account. There's no mention of Jesus seeing the faith of the paralyzed man in this text. It is that fact that in Mark 2 and verse 4, verse 5, that Jesus saw the faith of the friends of the paralyzed man. Isn't that an amazing truth today? When we really recount this text and look into it a little bit deeper, right? Can it be said of us who are serving the Lord today that others can actually see our faith, right? You see, because there's something lacking in our faith if we keep it all bottled up inside of us and it can never be seen. It's never been intended for us after we come to Jesus to keep our faith to ourselves. we need to be sharing our faith with others. Isn't that right? Amen. So the emphasis here is on the faith of the friends of the paralyzed man, right? That we need to have faith that can be seen, that can make a difference, that would enable us to have an impact in other people's lives. And it starts with becoming involved. Very often, we don't want to get involved. But these four men took it upon themselves, and they got involved regardless of what it was going to cost them. They got involved regardless of receiving any recognition. That's a big one. Often when we do things, we like people to know we do things. But there's no ego here in this story that we find, right? Regardless of what it cost them, these men got involved. Regardless of the obstacles that they had to face, they played such a vital role that would make a significant difference in this man's life. Hallelujah. Let me share a true story with you today, and I'm going to ask for Bonnie, if you just hold this frame up there for the duration of the story, about Captain Charlie Plum. You probably have never heard of Captain Charlie Plum. Captain Charlie Plum's squadron launched from the aircraft carrier, the USS Kitty Hawk, to fly the Navy's hottest planes at that time, the F-4 Phantom Jet. Charlie Plum flew 74 successful combat missions over North Vietnam. And on May the 19th, 1967, his 75th mission, just 5 days before he was going to be ending his tour, Charlie Plum was shot down over Hanoi. He was taken prisoner. He was tortured. And he spent over 2,103 days the next 6 years as a prisoner of war. Think about that. Many years later, fast forward, Charlie Plum is sitting in a restaurant in Kansas City, Missouri. And just a couple of tables away from him, another man seated there was looking over at him, just staring at him, looking over and eyeing him up. And the man finally got up from his table, and he walked over to where Charlie Plum was seated, and he looked down at Charlie Plum, and he said, "You're Captain Charlie Plum, aren't you?" Charlie Plum said, yes, I'm Captain Plum. The man continued. He said, "You flew jet fighters in Vietnam. You were on the aircraft carrier, the USS Kitty Hawk. You were shot down, and you parachuted into enemy hands and spent the next 6 years as a prisoner of war." And Charlie Plum was startled, and he said, "Well, yes, but how in the world did you know all of that?" And the man looked at him and he said, "I packed your parachute." Wow. Charlie was stunned. He was stunned. He stood up to his feet. He extended a grateful hand of appreciation and thanked the man for packing his parachute. The man looked at him and said, "Well, I guess it worked." Charlie didn't sleep much that night. He kept thinking about how many times he possibly passed that man on the ship, the USS Kitty Hawk, never once acknowledging him, never once saying hello or good morning or how are you or anything at all for that matter. For you see, Charlie Plum, he was a fighter pilot, and this man was just a sailor. And so he wondered, Charlie Plum, wondered how many hours did that man spend in the bowels of that ship, weaving those shrouds and those folding those silks of those parachutes to prepare them in the event that they might be needed by the pilot in an emergency situation. And here's what Charlie Plum said, and I'm quoting. He said, "I could have cared less about that man until one day when my parachute that he packed saved my life." Mind you, on that ship, the USS Kitty Hawk, there were 99 jet fighters, airplanes, and there were 5,000 sailors. You see, because it took 5,000 sailors, all of them, and their involvement in those 99 jets to assure that each jet, when it went out, experienced a successful mission. Isn't that something to ponder for us today? And you see, I emphasize this today, we actually need parachute packers in missions. Can I hear an amen today? Yeah. You see, we need people who will risk being unknown to the world, but they will make God take notice of their faith to change the world around them. We need people, and it could be you today who are sitting here, who will be willing to set aside their own agenda to live without fame or any name recognition here on earth, but by their involvement, by their determination, and by their commitment, God will use them in some way to affect the spiritual destiny, maybe even of nations. God wants to use us. God wants people like you and I. And we need people like you and I to put our intentions into practice and into action and weave our way into the redemption story of those who have yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Here's some questions maybe we need to ask ourselves. And while you're listening today, ask yourself these two questions right now. Whose parachute am I packing? Does that make you uncomfortable? Can I say this with all the love of God in my heart? I hope it does. I hope it does make you uncomfortable because that's the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to get us out of our area of comfort and ease. Yeah, to take a step to do something we've never done before. And it's all a matter of saying yes. Did you know that? It's a matter of posturing ourselves to say yes. How do you think Pastor Danny and Heather became the pastors, your pastors of Bethel Assembly? They did that by posturing themselves and being willing to say yes. When we do that, whether you're a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a greeter or a parking lot attendant or you serve food, the fact is when we posture ourselves with an attitude of a spirit of contrition to humble ourselves before God, and when we're willing to say yes to God, it's amazing the doors that God will open for us to serve Him just by being willing to say yes. So whose parachute am I packing? Another question. Which corner of the mat is mine? Which corner of the mat is mine? For years, and I'm sure others have done the same. Maybe Pastor Danny, you've done this. I've always, for years and years, preached and taught, God has called everybody to be a missionary. And more recently, the past number of years, I've kind of changed my description of that, and I think you'll understand why. In reality, if it's true, in the truest sense of the word missionary, if everyone is called to be a missionary, then this is what it means in the definition. It means today, after church, that when you go home, you have to put a for sale sign in your yard. Anybody willing to do that? I mean, if you are willing to do that, you should talk to Sandy and myself and Pastor Danny after the service. So if you, in the truest sense of the word, want to be a missionary, today, when you go home, you put a for sale sign in your yard. How many of you have a little bit of stuff? How many, may I change the adjective, how many of you have a lot of stuff? You're going to have to get rid of a lot of your stuff. And then you're going to have to buy a one-way ticket to the country that you feel God is leading you to go and serve, where you will be for 4 years. 4 years before you ever come back to the United States. And guess what? In the first year of those 4 years, you are not even able to do any ministry. Because why? The first year of your 4 years in that country where you're going to minister, you have to learn the language of that nation where you're living. And at the end of that year, be able to, after you've studied the language and get to learn the language, be able to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ in that new language you've learned to the people in the nation where you now live who won't understand any other language but that language because it's their language. Anybody willing to be a missionary? Yeah, there's a lot involved. A lot goes on behind the scenes. But while you may not be called to be a missionary, I believe everyone is called to be missional. Missional. Maybe that's a word you've never heard before. There's a number of passages in the scriptures I could use today to share with you, kind of to define that, but I've chosen only one today. It's from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It's in the Good News Translation, and it's worded like this. But have reverence for Christ in your hearts, and honor him as Lord. And here's the missional part. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you. Do you think you could do that? Do you think you could, standing in the grocery line at Giant Eagle, getting ready to pay for your groceries, that if the opportunity availed itself, that you would be able just in a very spontaneous, simple way, be able to share what Jesus means to you? And I often have said that in personal evangelism, there are two people generally who are terrified. It's the person telling and the person hearing. And I just say that humorously. But the reality is, if you would like to know the easiest way to share your faith, would you like to know the easiest way? The easiest way to share your faith is simple. Tell your story. You see, because it's your story. I mean, they can choose to say, really? No, no way. It's your story. You've lived it. And you have the opportunity in expressing to them and telling them what you used to be or how you used to live and your life BC. And they may look at you and say, really, I can't imagine you that way. It's because I had an encounter with Jesus. And what I used to be, I am no longer. But I know yet in loving him, I am not yet what I need to be. Can I hear an amen today? That's so important because we're all still in this process of spiritual formation. Did you know that? We're all in the process of spiritual formation. We are becoming day by day more and more like Jesus in our growth and spiritual maturity and development and drawing near to him. That never stops. It's the whole life journey, walking with him, being with him, learning about him and letting that transform our hearts. Amen. Wow. Wow. You see, this is a powerful truth today in these verses of Mark chapter 2 that we're sharing. You see, these four men, great friends, we all need friends like these four men, they simply brought this man to Jesus. And Jesus took it from there. They brought him to Jesus. It was his encounter with Jesus that changed that man's life. It wasn't his encounter with the four men, although they were instruments in God's hands. It was his encounter with Jesus. Isn't that our aim as Christians? You know, I have a lot of friends that are not Christians, and I love being around non-believers, non-Christians. You know why? It helps me know where my anchor is in Christ. And I'm around non-Christians a lot. And you might be surprised. How many of you graduated from high school 40 years ago? How many of you graduated from high school 50 years ago? Yeah, me too. Guess what? This will shock you. And I'm from Latrobe, Pennsylvania. I grew up in Latrobe. I still spend a lot of time with 18 to 20 of my closest high school buddies. A lot of that time is spent on a golf course with them. I've had the privilege of leading some of them to Jesus, and they serve him now. But there are still some of them, you know, they're holding on to, you know, their religious background. A lot of them have a Catholic background, you know. And we just have long conversations together. But do you know who they call when they are going through trials and difficulties, marriage problems, issues in life? Do you know who they call, who they contact? Me. And I love that. I love that. What that means is, for you too, and for our relationships, that when we build a bridge in friendship from our heart to their heart, our prayer through love and encouragement and valuing them and being available to them, our prayer is that one day Jesus will walk across that bridge from our heart to theirs, and they will make a decision to become a follower of Jesus. Amen. I better move on here. Number two. Number one, we said they put their intentions into action. Number two, they didn't make any excuses. That's a good one. You see, they saw the need and they looked for a solution. And they were so determined, and they believe, again, if they could actually get this man to Jesus, that Jesus was the solution. In fact, they believed that so much that they were willing to work hard to make it happen. Even look like fools. Have you ever torn the roof off of someone's house? They were willing to go to extreme lengths to see that this man could receive what he needed in his healing. They didn't look for any alternative solutions. They didn't allow any obstacles to stop them, and they were, again, willing to go to extreme measures to make it happen. And can I just be real with you today? Because it is a reality of serving the Lord in any capacity, whether you're a missionary living in another country or you are living in your home. And that is, compassion is always inconvenient. It's always inconvenient. Just think at this. Think if you would have read in Mark 2, you won't read it, but I'm just going to give you a scenario that sometimes could happen in our situation. Just think if it read this way in Mark 2 and verse 4. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they said, "Aw, this isn't going to work. This is so frustrating. Let's forget about this. Let's go home." You won't read that there. They didn't look for an alternative solution. And I say this again, when it comes to missions and our involvement in missions, it's never convenient. It's not always glamorous. No, no, no. And mind you, it will always cost you. It will always cost you, right? I'm not specifically limiting that to finances. It will cost you time, your talent, and your treasure. It will cost you in anything that you do in making those kinds of sacrifices. You see, that's why each and every one of us needs to understand our God-given responsibility in missions. And while you shared with me today that you're not willing to go overseas and live, but there's a great partnership that is here. We are willing to do that. We're willing to go because we're called to go. And when we're called to go, God always makes sure that there are those who are called to send. Thank you for being our senders. What an amazing partnership God has coordinated, that He calls people to send, and He calls people to go, and when you put that together, the gospel of Jesus Christ gets taken around the world. Can I hear an amen today? Regardless of the difficulties, regardless of the challenges, regardless of the obstacles, there has to be an opportunity for us to look past those things and say, "Lord, we know that You will make a way where there seems to be no way." All right, number one, they put their intentions into action. Number two, they didn't make any excuses. Number three, and this is actually part of the title of my message today, they looked at the crippled man and said, "Your story is our story. Your story is our story." Well, what does that mean, all right? You see, their involvement made his miracle their miracle. Their involvement made his victory their victory. And you see, when we make a decision collectively and personally to become an active part of someone else's story, and we can weave our way into their life, into their situation, and we can be a part of their redemption story. How many of you can recall a name of someone who was very influential in your life in you making a decision to follow Jesus? Can you think of someone whose name? Someone yes, I see that. That's awesome that you can recall. And I have a couple of those people that when I think about my journey following Jesus, there are a couple of people that God used at a critical moment in my life that were strategic in me, in my about face repentance, when I stopped in my tracks because the Holy Spirit gripped my heart and I turned around. That's what repentance is. You stop sinning and you turn around, but you don't just stand there. You walk away from sin and you walk toward Jesus. That's what repentance really, really is. Amen. But the important thing is God uses people. While these four men's names are never mentioned, there's no recognition of them whatsoever. The reality is God uses people, right? He's invited you and I and given us a personal invitation to be his co-laborers in the accomplishing of his eternal purpose of the world knowing about Jesus. Isn't that amazing that the omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty God gives you and I an invitation to be his partners? Couldn't he just do it on his own? Of course he could. But he wants human involvement. He has human instrumentality to do that. I stumbled on this quote, an amazing quote from St. Augustine, and it is written, "Without God, I can't, but without me, God won't." God uses people. And so what part are you playing in this great commission experience? Even here in Pittsburgh, Bethel Assembly, you have a pastor. You have anointed leadership here. But do you know what God wants to do in his vision for this community and the surrounding areas? It's too great for one man to carry that load all on his shoulders. It needs the involvement, the participation, the willingness of those of you who are part of this congregation to come alongside the pastor, first to pray for him and stand alongside of him, but also walk with him into the future that God has in store so that he doesn't have to bear that load all on his own. He wasn't built for that. That's why together, when we put our efforts together and multiply those efforts, a far greater impact is possible. Can I hear an amen today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Three quick takeaways today that I want to give you to share, to hold on to today. Number one, ask yourself, what can I do this week to make Jesus take notice of my faith? What can I do? It's going to be, number one, it's going to be inconvenient. We talked about that. It's going to take you off track for your routine. But is it worth it when the gospel is involved? It absolutely is. Number two, how can I posture my life to make their story my story? In other words, what do I need to change perhaps in my daily routine or daily living so that somehow, some way, I can involve my life in other people's needs, giving them opportunity to have an encounter with Jesus? How can I posture my life? Yeah, right? Number three, what's my part? That involves your time, your talent, and your treasure, right? That involves your time. Time is very valuable today. Did you know, is your time valuable? You want to make the best use of your time. Time is so precious. We cherish time, right? What's my part? That's the question. I put this out there earlier in a few minutes ago, asking ourselves, which corner of the mat is mine to grab onto? Which corner, right? Do I need to pack a parachute? Do I need to fly a jet fighter or maybe just make a meal for the other sailors, right? Mind you, There were 99 aircraft and 5,000 sailors, all of them involved in assuring those 99 aircraft each had successful missions when they went out. So what I'm saying is there's room for you. There's a place for you. There's an opportunity for you. Somehow, some way, for you to be involved at a level that will enable the mission here of Bethel Assembly to be able to be more impactful and more far-reaching and being able to touch more lives, right? Amen. And it's all about love and obedience. You know, love and obedience, they go together. You can't separate love and obedience. Just a couple of verses today to share with you. John chapter 14. And actually, verse 15, before that verse, John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This verse, John 14, 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And then all the way to the back of your Bible, in the epistle of John, 2 John 1 and verse 6, this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. You see, the Great Commission is our commission. It's not just the missionaries. It's not just the pastors. It belongs to all of God's people, and he has provided an empowerment for us all to experience that, to live that out, and to be a part of the body of Christ that is engaged in helping to expand the kingdom of God. And we do that by making their story our story and becoming involved at some level in their lives as one who would offer support, love, and encouragement. Amen. In closing today, I use this quote often to close from one of our former executive directors of Assemblies of God World Missions, and Lauren Triplett said it this way, and it's something to think about. And you see, we can stand here today and missionaries come to you and share all that we're doing, and it's important that you know what we're doing because you're supporting what we're doing, and you should help keep us accountable to that. But more than that, more than what we are doing, and Lauren Triplett says it well, we cannot measure the task by what we have done. We must measure the task by what we have yet to do. There is still so much more work that needs to be done. Amen. Just where you are today, let's bow our heads together. Take a moment in closing in prayer before Pastor Danny comes. With your head bowed today and your eyes closed, I just want to give opportunity today. If you might be here, you might attend Bethel Assembly on a regular basis or maybe more recently, but you've never really personally and intimately asked Jesus to come into your heart, to be the Lord of your life. And if you've not done that before, I'm going to invite you, in fact, collectively, all of us together, I would like to invite you to pray this very simple prayer with me today. Will you please pray this prayer? Dear Jesus, I come to you and I call on your name. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. Cleanse me of all my sin. Be the Lord of my life. Thank you for hearing my prayer, forgiving my sin, and coming into my heart today. I promise to live my life to serve you all of my days. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the very first time, if you may have prayed that prayer today by way of rededicating your heart to Jesus, you could do that. I encourage you to make sure that you let Pastor Danny know or any of the leadership in the church, let them know, I prayed that prayer today to ask Jesus into my heart. And they will help to share with you what your next steps are on the new spiritual journey that you have ahead of you. Again, Pastor Danny, Heather, congregation, Sandy, and I want to express our deepest thanks to be able to come here and to share with you and to enjoy fellowship together here at Bethel Assembly. God bless you.
Yeah. Thank you. Amen.